Production. When you get to the club, you're gonna turn the tape off. You're gonna turn the tape off. You're gonna turn the tape off. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club, they watching us. They watching us. They watching us. Everybody in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes.
Welcome, everybody. This is Zone In. I'm your host, Steve Lewis. And for the next hour, you will be zoned in for fitness. Today's topic, I want to talk about what's in your gym. Okay, kind of like a parody on that, what's in your wallet. Anyway, and I got my guest here today, Mr. Keith Johnson, trainer from Schererville, Indiana. Keith, how you doing?
I'm Steve. How you been?
Great. In any event, we've been I've been looking over, you know, what people have been asking about, you know, how to select the gym or how to select, you know, what exercises. Maybe, you know, some people like martial arts. Some people like to go into yoga, you know, different forms of exercising. And it depends on, you know, I guess kind of like what you've been exposed to, and it will determine, you know, exactly what type of facility that you're going to, you know, pick up with. So, well, I got Keith here, and he's basically with resistance training. And I want to go over with him, maybe he can help us out, talk about a few things in terms of, you know, when we first go out to look for a gym, what we should be looking for in terms of facility-wise. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff out there right now, and there are a lot of gyms. I talked about this a few weeks ago. The thing is that everything's so much more concentrated now, because now you've got a gym like every 3 or 4 miles. Well, I know this going back, but 20, 30 years ago, that was not the case. You'd have to travel quite a distance, and then there was always an issue of the type of equipment that was there. But in any event, I want to get from a trainer's perspective, you know, what you should be looking for in the gym and what you can use in order to just, you know, for just general fitness, or if you want to lose weight, or, you know, you want to buff up or whatever. Keith, you know, I'm going to bring you in here. Why don't you start, you know, and tell us, like, you know, maybe some of the basic stuff, or let's say if we just select a bodybuilding gym. Let's say if you're in an area and the only thing they have, and if you're in California, this is probably you, you know, if you're in an area and all they have is just bodybuilding gyms, what should you look for going in there? I mean, if you just want to do general fitness.
Well, if I'm looking for general fitness, and first thing I'm going to do when I walk into a gym is I'm going to look for some barbells and dumbbells. You know, those are the basics that have been around forever. You know, Arnold and all the greats, they built their bodies using, you know, free weights. So that's the first thing I'm going to look for as what you would consider maybe a bodybuilder. But, I mean, for anybody looking to improve their fitness and their physique, dumbbells and barbells are the way to go. So I'd immediately go for that. And dumbbells are almost more important than a barbell because, you know, with a barbell, you can always add weight as long as they got enough plates for you. And I'm going to believe that most gyms have enough plates to suffice for their members. So that shouldn't be much of an issue as long as there's enough barbells to go around. But I would make sure the dumbbells, if I was going to join a gym, go up to at least 120. I think that's very important to have dumbbells that, you know, can test your strength levels, because there's a lot of different exercises that you can do with dumbbells, and there's going to be a varying degree of strength amongst yourself, your clients, your friends. So as long as the dumbbells go up to about 120 for myself, I feel as though I can do most exercises efficiently and get a good number of reps and still be working the muscle fully. Any heavier than that, you know, I could probably do a barbell exercise, or if I really wanted to, I try to find a gym with dumbbells up to 150. But those are few and far between as far as, you know, bodybuilding gyms are kind of taboo nowadays.
Okay.
So, and then from there, Steve, I would probably go to their machines next, check out how their machines are, and I'm a big fan of hammer strength equipment. Hammer strength equipment is great pieces of machines that mimic free weights quite well. A lot of them have the option of being worked, the muscle each side being worked unilaterally. A lot of them are plate loaded, so there's really no way to max out the weight unless you're putting so many plates on that the holder actually gets filled up. But that's going to take quite a bit of weight to do that. So from there, you know, the machines, I would probably check out some good cardiovascular, see if they got some step mills in there, as I think that's the most important cardio tool you can use while trying to lose body fat. But the basics, you know, Steve, we're looking for barbells, dumbbells, and just a few quality pieces, you know, machines, pec deck, low row, stuff like that, to make sure that you're working your body to the maximum.
Okay. Well, I mean, so, and that's pretty basic, I mean, really. So, but now, I guess one of the things that comes out of that is then the price. You know, if you go into a gym and they've got the basics, okay, and they're trying, you know, and the cost, I mean, I'm not sure. Everybody's got a different cost depending on where you live. But I don't know. I mean, if I go in and I don't see a lot of equipment inside the gym, you know, different, you know, with various, you know, types of barbells and different types of equipment and definitely different manufacturers of machines and so forth, you know, I start to wonder, you know, about the cost. Or here's another thing that I look for. If I'm looking only to pay a certain cost, then I may go for just a gym that just has the basics. So, but I don't know if that's always the case. I mean, if the cost is going to say, you know, if they just got the basics in there, they may still charge you, you know, the regular market rate. So I really don't know. But if your goal is to go in the gym, okay, and just maintain, okay, you know, you're right, just find the basics and then just go from there. And I guess the next step after that is to look for something that's maybe close in vicinity to where you live or actually work, so you know that it's more convenient. So, but like you say, the bodybuilding gyms are kind of like taboo. Now everybody's included everything, so I don't know, unless you're in New York somewhere and you're next to Metroflex or either Bev's Gym or something like that, you know, so it's a different story. But, you know, that's what I would think. So when I see bodybuilding gym, or it's basically, you know, it's just basic, you know, barbells and dumbbells, then I'm thinking my cost should be, you know, I should be able to get away with maybe a decent cost. I don't know. Is that the case, or should I be looking for a certain amount of square footage or, you know, space to work, a layout, or what do you think?
I mean, that has a couple variables that have to do with that. I believe, you know, the atmosphere also plays a big role. You know, I get a free membership at Omni in Schererville. So, you know, it's a very equipped gym, as you know. It has about everything you can imagine, pools, tennis courts, everything. And I would still pay for a membership for most people would consider kind of a dump of the gym quads in Cal City. But I was mainly paying for the atmosphere, to be surrounded by great lifters and people that were going to push me to help me reach my goals. Whereas, you know, had the best or cleanest equipment, but it was the atmosphere that I paid for. You know, we have a lot of gyms nowadays, Steve, that are offering $10 a month, $20 a month, and you got to care. They're just trying to hurt us in there and then not take care of us. Clientele, they're trying to, because $10 for a gym is dirt cheap. I mean, usually a day pass for a gym is anywhere from $10 to $15 to
$20.
Okay. I mean, it all depends on the atmosphere, the music, the people you're going to be surrounded by. That's what really depicts how much I'm going to pay for a gym. Because okay, there's a lot of real nice, fancy gyms that I probably wouldn't join just because, you know, a lot of it's unnecessary for me.
Right. You're just looking for the basics. Gotcha. Okay.
Just looking for the basics, you know, because you can still improve with the basics. Like I said before, barbells, dumbbells, and
okay.
You know, the fancy stuff is fun to screw around on once in a while, but I still can't get away from freeway.
Yeah, and it's kind of tough. You're right. The the free weights, really, I mean, you got to have those. And so if you're just doing regular maintenance, yeah, that's really all you should be concerned about. And, you know, over the years, what I've seen now is that the gym sizes have decreased. You know, it used to be, you know, you go out and, you know, you may have, 20,000, 30,000 square foot of gym or something. And now it's smaller. And like you say, I mean, I think it provides a lot more atmosphere. But one thing that you touched on was you're also kind of looking at who's also in the gym. So because, you know, right, you're going to be inspired a little bit more maybe, or, you know, or somebody else there, you know, can help you along if you have questions or whatever, whether it's a member or one of the people that actually work at the gym, at the same facility. So I think every place is going to be different, but in terms of the bodybuilding gyms, you're going to be looking to get something, you know, there's going to be a reason why you go there. So, you know, you're going to have to look at more than just the cost and maybe what's inside the gym. A lot of personal training studios have popped up, okay? And this is for, you know, for personal trainers, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I know women in particular, they don't always like to be, how to say, just, you know, in a regular gym, basically, on showcase. I have just a term, I guess, whatever. But so if they're going to actually want, if they've got some goals that they want to reach, they're going to actually go to a personal trainer, and sometimes that personal trainer has a personal trainer studio. Now, Keith, you being a trainer, okay, you know, for me, I don't know if I really want to always go to some place where I don't see other people, or want to go to some place whereby if I go to the personal trainer studio, then I got to go back and find another gym outside of that. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, that, you know, this is starting to be, I see quite a few of these studios popping up. So, and I want to ask the people that, you know, that are attending, I said, well, do you have a separate gym or what do you do?
I believe a lot of those people have to join really two gyms. You're going to go for your personal training sessions with the studio where the trainer owns that area or rents that out. And then you're going to have to go do your own work at your Cardinal Fitness or your Charter or something basic where you can work out on your own, because it's going to be tough to afford a personal trainer, especially at a studio. That they can somewhere, you know, in the Chicagoland area or by us out in northwest Indiana, their rates are going to run anywhere from $50 to $100 an hour. And if you head out east, you know, that can be upwards of $150 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe even in California also, it's going to be pretty expensive to afford training with a trainer 3, 4, or 5 times a week. So you're definitely going to have a backup gym to be able to go to and do the work that you do at the studio at the main gym.
Right.
For a couple reasons, Steve, the studios, I think, are just, you know, it's a tough racket, for one thing. I mean, I've seen a lot of studios come and go rather quick. I mean, usually you're paying a lot of rent. You have to have equipment. A lot of people can't afford the equipment right away. So, you know, they're a little unsupplied with equipment, and people really want to have every option available to them. And it's tough to compete with gyms like the Lifetime, the Omnis, that are just so big and offer so much to people at a reasonable rate that they'd much rather just go there, train with the trainer that works at the gym, and they can get familiar with the equipment and the faces that they see every day. You know, a lot of people come to the gym, you know, Steve, you and I, we go there to work out. A lot of people go there also for a social atmosphere. You know, they go there to be able to see, you know, Billy and Martha and everybody and say hello to them and see how their weekend was. A lot of these people become friends. And I, myself included, I've made friends through the gym atmosphere. Wasn't necessarily my goal, but you see these people 5, 6 days a week, you're going to get to know them eventually.
That's
so
true.
The studio really has to be a well-equipped studio with plenty of options for everybody you're trying to appeal to. Otherwise, it's going to be tough for you to survive in the market today. I mean, I think it could be a very profitable endeavor if you are able to have a large clientele base already follow you to your studio. But even then, a lot of these people, you know, they have kids, they have jobs. They don't they want to be able to have 24-hour access and have childcare and be offered a smoothie in the cafe or a sandwich. You know, those are amenities that people really look forward to, and they don't want to have to be a member at two gyms to reach what they want. You know, some people maybe, but most are looking for a one-stop shop, you know?
Right. Okay. And I agree. So if you're going to go to a personal studio, know that, you know, really it's just there for you to basically have a certain goal in mind as to what you want to do. I mean, it's not going to be just for regular maintenance or you know, just regular fitness. You're going to want to go in there with the mindset that, you know, you're only going to be there for a while because, one, it's just too expensive. But, two, that should be the general theme of it, just to get in there, you know, and just go if it's 3 months, 9 months, or whatever that you're going to spend your time doing the training. And then after that, you know, you're still going to need a gym. So I totally agree. But there are some people that, you know, they really don't want to go anyplace else because they don't want to be seen. And it could be, I don't know, maybe celebrities or, politicians or whatever. You know, I can only guess who would go there because they don't want to be seen. And like you're saying, when you go to a regular gym, you become part of the gym, you know, part of the atmosphere. You know everybody. They know you, so on and so forth, that they look forward to seeing you. If you're not there for a while, you know, they'll check and say, hey, I haven't seen you here. So, yeah, so it's a little different, even if you don't even want the social atmosphere. Because sometimes, you know, like you and I, you're so busy, you just got to get in the gym and get out. You don't want, I mean, I hate, you know, I hate to say I got to cut the conversations, but that's what the deal is, because you're never going to get, you know, the total workout out, you know, and within a certain period of time if you're constantly talking. But, you know, there is that atmosphere of, camaraderie that, you know, you still want to see some of that. So, yeah, so the personal gyms, I'm thinking, well, you know, only do it if it's something that you're trying to achieve, some goal that you're trying to achieve, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. So other than that, I'd let it go. You're right. I feel the same way. Well, one of the other gyms, the studios coming up now, or facilities for working out, are these martial arts studios. Now, and I believe they're calling them MMAs or something, and I'm not sure where all that came from, but I see those popping up, you know, quite a bit now, too. And really, I mean, they've been around for a while, but I'm thinking, I'm not that familiar with what they're doing inside the gym so that you can, for regular maintenance. I know that, for kids and, you know, teenagers and the younger crowd that want to compete in this, it's really good for them. But, I don't know. Does that have to be supplemented with another gym or what do you think? I mean, I'm not really sure. Is it, Keith? What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, a lot of these mixed martial arts gyms have been influenced by the UFC. You know, they see it on TV. People get, oh, I want to train like that. Or those guys are in great shape, which they are. They're in amazing shape. And so the people want to train and do the things those people do, but they don't realize that, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it, not only with your diet and your training, but, you know, you're getting punched in the head and, you know, slammed on the mat, and it's tough, you know, on the body. And a lot of those guys have other facilities where they do their resistance training at also. So, again, you're looking at the issue of having to pay two gym memberships to be able to do these things. And with the MMA gyms or the just martial arts facilities in general, you're most likely getting either one-on-one training or, like, a group training. So then you're probably paying at least, you know, let's say $100 a month, you know, and we're talking out in the Midwest to be able to be a member at one of these facilities. And again, it just, for your average gym goer, person looking to get into great shape, you really, I mean, it's going to become difficult to be able to afford that unless you are doing quite well financially or even just have the time to go to two facilities is what would be probably more of a tough situation for most people. You know, some people bring an hour to go to a regular gym, let alone two gyms to be able to hit what they need to do in the week. So, you know, I think mixed martial arts gyms are good if that's what you're looking to compete in or if you just want to be able to train like that or for self-defense. But another problem that I find with this is everybody's a mixed martial arts. You know, they're in the MMA. I fought in the UFC. I did this. I did that, you know. And I doubt their credibility. You know, a lot of times these clubs, these gyms try to fill, you know, just get as many members in there that are willing to pay. And I just doubt the quality of training. And you can really hurt yourself if you're not getting the proper attention from your trainer and they're just looking to make a dime off you. So
I guess
for that reason, too, I find that the UFC or the mixed martial arts gyms can sometimes kind of have a negative influence on certain types of people.
Yeah, so you're saying that a lot of this has just come off the fact that, you know, that they're seeing the stuff on TV and they want to train like that. And, you know, a good point. I mean, unless you plan on getting into, you know, that particular industry or that business, you got to think about, you know, is this going to, you know, actually be something that you can always continue to do, you know, and maintain? And then, you know, again, the price, you know, always has something to play for, but also has something to play into it, because, you know, you're always looking at your disposable income, you know, how much money you got left, you know, in order to do this. So if it, you know, and that, I guess, plays into, you know, your lifestyle. So, you know, if you can afford it, fine. But yeah, again, you got to look at what your fitness goals are and then how you're going to do it. But, you know, but for getting in shape, I think once you get in shape, though, you're done with it. That's the way I see it. I mean, then now you got to go find a gym. And then once you find a gym, then you got to figure out, you know, what kind of gym you're going to need. And that's where you're going to look for the, you know, some of the basic things that are in the gym so that you can have a decent workout and still either maintain or, you know, or try to, you know, continue to lose weight if that's what your goal is, or continue to gain weight, or whatever your goals are. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out there because, I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, you know, yeah, I want to get into martial arts, or I'm going to an MMA club or so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, okay, so after you leave that club, what are you going to do? Now there are a lot of fitness class studios around now, you know, and we haven't talked too much about some of the other types of exercises that you can do outside of resistance training. I mean, we have a little bit, but I mean, you know, we haven't talked that much about it. But now I tell you, I do like yoga. Now I've never gone to a yoga class, but I have sat with several yoga instructors in order to figure out what I could do for flexibility. And the reason is because I'm getting older, you know, and now things that, you know, and if you don't use some type of flexibility, if you don't do some type of flexibility training, you know, your body becomes stiff. You can barely turn around. You can't bend over, you know, and so in order to remove those constraints from myself, you know, that's what I started looking into, you know, yoga. And the moves aren't that difficult. And at first, you're not able to master them, but as you go through it, it makes it everything gets a lot easier because then your body starts to tone with it. I'm not sure at what, you know, what age, you know, is ideal for it, you know, because I'm hearing different things. You know, maybe if you do yoga, wait until you're a certain age because your bones have to, you know, have to be set, or don't do it if you have a back issue. But you know, I can't say for sure because everybody that I know, okay, that's actually gone through and taken a class and stayed with it, you know, it's always benefited. I mean, so Keith, when I guess I got to ask you, you being a personal trainer, and you've got a, you know, wide range of clientele, you know, different ages, do you suggest anything to them in terms of yoga or what do you do? Or do you actually, you know, incorporate some yoga moves in your training?
You know, with my training, Steve, I'm not what I would consider a professional yoga instructor. I know a few moves and I understand the benefits of yoga, but I would rather send them to a yoga instructor. You know, my main goal as a trainer is to set people up for a lifetime of fitness to where they can learn, move on, and do their own thing. I'm very lucky to have clients that stick with me for long periods of time, but the main thing is to teach people how to work out and be healthy on their own. And if that means sending them to yoga and having them learn or enjoy a field of fitness that I'm
maybe not as passionate about or as knowledgeable, I'm glad to do so. So I would probably send them to a yoga instructor, suggest maybe a website, a video, or something along those lines. But, you know, I do think yoga and Pilates play a big role in, you know, it can complement anything. I mean, four-time Mr. Olympia, Jay Cutler, he did Pilates, you know, which is, you know, on the reformer to, you know, work with his flexibility, lengthening the muscles, improving the range of motion. So right there, they go hand in hand. They can complement each other. The typical bodybuilding style of training mixed with, you know, Pilates, yoga, and some of these other group fitness classes can really make for a great physique or athlete. And the problem with the fitness industry, Steve, is that nobody wants to get along with each other. Everybody's their own thing. I do CrossFit. I bodybuild. I powerlift. I only go to group classes. Only do cardio.
Right.
If we all just combine forces, people would probably be in the best shape of their life.
Yeah, that's true. Take the best from everything, or somehow incorporate it. And that's, you know, kind of why I was asking. Yeah, that's why I was kind of asking about the yoga. You know, so what do you do if you have somebody that you're training that doesn't have a full, you know, they can't do a full range of motion? Do you suggest to them to go to yoga, or do you try to incorporate something, or what do you do?
You know, we'd probably work on some flexibility issues that I can handle myself, you know, through stretching, different types of cardiovascular training to warm them up, get everything going, or, you know, other types of stretching. But yoga, I would suggest, just because I think it's a good way to maybe relax and, like you said, to improve flexibility and range of motion. So I would definitely suggest going to yoga, but I would not be the one teaching that yoga, just because I'm not confident enough to show people how to do proper poses in something that I'm not an expert at.
Okay, all right. You know, and I understand, and I'm I'm the same way. I'm just learning, but you know, because for me, one of the things that, you know, I was concerned about was the fact that I wasn't, you know, my flexibility as I began to age and gain a little weight here and there, you know, I wasn't quite as flexible. So, and then the other thing is that I didn't realize, until I started talking to these yoga instructors, you know, what the yoga moves were actually doing. It was just increasing your flexibility. And, you know, one of the things was just a simple thing, you know, like putting on my socks, standing up. You know, that's a yoga move. If I'm in the car and I'm reversing, so I put my hand over I'm driving, and I put my hand over the back seat to turn around to look where I'm going, that's a yoga move. Now, actually, you know, because the older you get, you know, the less flexibility you have, and some of those things become really difficult. So, you know, just practicing it, you know, and that's why I went to the instructors, just, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how can I do this, you know, and incorporate all this into my lifestyle so that, you know, not only, you know, am I fit, I'm also flexible so that, you know, I don't have these issues where, you know, I'm caught, you know, well, you know, if I have to stand up, you know, putting my shoes on or something, that is going to bother me, or if I'm backing up, I really got a problem because now I'm going to be looking for a rear view mirror or some device to help me because I don't have that flexibility in order to turn around. So I started thinking about, you know what, these are everyday life issues that, you know, that you can use doing it. Now, I don't know how far yoga can take, you know, I don't know if yoga is going to be more beneficial to me, I should say, than if I were doing resistance training in terms of, you know, how much muscle I was able to maintain, you know, on my body in order to do, you know, just regular, you know, chores around the house or, you know, just being in shape. So I haven't taken it that far, but I have looked at some of the moves in order to help me, you know, with my flexibility. Well, we're coming up on a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other training methods that, well, in particular, I want to talk a little bit about cross-training when we come back. I mean, I've got some questions I want to ask, and that maybe you can help me with, or you know, or we can both ask together to try to figure out, you know, what's going on here. But anyway, we'll be back in a little bit, and we'll talk to you then.
Bring the action.
When you have this in the club, you gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club. They watching us. They watching us. They watching us. Everybody in the club. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Zone In. I'm Steve Lewis, and my guest today is Mr. Keith Johnson from Schererville, Indiana. And we're just talking about what's in your gym, or what you should be looking for in your gym. And we left off, we had mentioned a couple of, several different options that people are basically going to bodybuilding gyms, personal studios. They're going to martial arts classes and fitness classes. And the last one we talked about was yoga. I want to get into this a little bit, this next topic. But, you know, I realize there's a lot of controversy around it. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't even know where it started. CrossFit fitness or CrossFit training, I guess. Now, let me just back up here a little bit. There are a lot of these personal studios that have started up that now do what they call boot camp training. Okay. Now, this boot camp style training, I guess it's fine if you're looking to get in shape, but to always go to a boot camp style studio for your general fitness, you know, for maintaining general fitness, this is not making any sense to me. I mean, just the name alone, boot camp. I mean, I'm thinking I conjure up the image of, you know, military. They, you know, you go out to boot camp for about 6 weeks, get in shape, and then boom, now you're ready to do what you're supposed to do, you know, for the military or whatever it is that you're actually, you know, that you're actually getting in shape for, and then you just do your regular maintenance, you know, of what you need. But they're actually advocating that this is a way of training all the time. And when I started digging into it, they use a lot of what they call these CrossFit exercises. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not really sure that these exercises are proper for maintaining, you know, regular fitness. In fact, I think it actually lends itself to, you know, to really a lot of injury and a lot of other stuff. So it actually, you know, pretty much endangers your fitness level. Keith, I mean, I hate to, you know, be so negative about it, but I mean, you tell me, what's your, you know, feeling about this CrossFit and the boot camps and all this stuff going on?
Well, I think CrossFit is a good idea, Steve. You know, it's a huge fad right now. It's a great way to make money is to open a CrossFit gym because you need some rowing machines, a few pieces of equipment, not much, and you're going to charge these people quite a bit of money to do it. CrossFit, I think, when properly trained at, can be good. But the big thing is properly trained at. Everybody does CrossFit these days. You know, you ask people down the road, well, they'll tell you. That's the thing with CrossFit. It's a 20-minute workout that people do a day, and they talk about it for the other 23 hours of the day. You know, they're just so obsessed with CrossFit. You know, it almost becomes more about talking about your workouts than actually working out. I mean, it's very intense workouts, you know. High intensity, balls to the walls, all out all the time. Right there, to me, that's going to tell your body really cannot respond to 100% all out training all the time without experiencing some negative feedback. You know, my mentor, Ed Cohen, probably the best powerlifter of all time, you know, has told me and has been quoted in magazines, books, that you can't lift like it's the Super Bowl every day. You know, you can't go in there and expect to lift the world or run faster than you did yesterday. You know, some days your body's just not going to respond. But with these CrossFit gyms, they expect you to improve, and they do things called WOTS, the workout of the day. And they have all these terms that they pretty much just made up. I mean, they've taken things like burpees and turned them into some other stuff, and that's one big exercise they do with burpees. They do muscle ups, and you know, I think it's more like showing off more than actually like trying to improve your physique. It's all about, you know, oh, well, I did 2,000 burpees today. How many did you do? It's like, I don't know. I just think it's more for people who want to be, who want to talk about working out instead of working out. You know, I love bodybuilding and powerlifting, but I very rarely just start conversations with people about it because, you know, that's my thing. I don't need to talk about something that I love to feel good about it. These people almost make you feel like, oh, if you don't do CrossFit, what are you? What kind of loser are you? And
yeah, I know, right. But, you know, the thing here, though, is that there has to be an objective. Just like you said, I mean, you can't go, you know, you have, when you're training, you know, let's example. Let's say you're training for a marathon, right? You want to go 26 miles. Well, you don't go out the first day and try to run 26 miles. You know, you've got to take it in steps. You got to figure out where you are now, assess yourself, do a little training, you know, do some things, you know, to help so that, you know, you can start, maybe you can work up to a mile, and then you work up to 5 miles, and you work up maybe to 10 miles, and then you keep training yourself. I mean, because, and that's how your body works. Your body works, basically, you know, you take a little step at a time to get going. But I'm just like totally, you know, they've got these CrossFit boot camp things, and it looks like they're just killing people. And I'm just, you know, I'm just totally amazed that nobody is talking against it. They're all like, no, you can't talk against CrossFit because, you know, Brad Pitt does it. You know, so-and-so does it. You know, and I'm like, who cares? What is it going to do for you? What are you What are you getting out of it except for you're ruining your joints or whatever else? If there's a definite plan on how to, you know, get trained and do something, that's one thing. But if you're just sitting there saying, yeah, just like you said, I did 200 push-ups and then I ran 5 miles and I'm okay, fine. So what did that get you? I mean, in your training schedule, where are you now? Are you much better off than you were before, or you just did it that day and now you're going to go back and do the same? I mean, I'm not understanding. It's when we say training, it means training. There's a goal that you're going to be doing this for. So, what happens? I mean, I don't get it.
You know, Stephen, I talked about earlier about how you just throw all these people into a class, and these moves aren't really easy exercises to exactly learn right away, and they just expect these people who have never had any type of fitness or resistance training done to do these exercises. They just throw them in there, do what you can do. We don't care what your form is. We just want to brag about how great our facility is. They call it a box, too. They don't call it a gym. You don't go to a CrossFit gym. You go to a CrossFit box. I'm just saying, right, because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, Steve. These people are just so full of themselves. And they think they're better than everyone. I mean, I want to like CrossFit. I think it's honestly good exercise, but it's just the people who do it. I mean, they just want to just talk about it. That's all they care about is CrossFit, CrossFit, CrossFit. And I guess your end result is that you're going to compete one day. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is that you're going to do a competition.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say.
How many people are going to actually compete in this CrossFit? I mean, I'd say maybe 5 to 10%. I might be pushing it there. And if you like it because it's like a sport or something, I mean, I guess that's a way to motivate people, but it's only a matter of time till injuries and everything accumulate and people realize, hey, this takes a wear and tear on your body. We got to have something. We got to supplement with something else to be able to do this CrossFit. And I just don't think CrossFitters are ever going to be able to go to a gym because their box is so great. You know, I just don't get it. And
these 20-minute workouts and these fancy names or doing hip thrusters. Why don't you just call them what they're actually called, these exercises?
Exactly.
Instead of making up your own lingo so you can confuse people and toss them around like it's just another day. You know, I want to like CrossFit Steve, but I just can't get past the people who do it. And I'm not saying everyone. So for our CrossFitters out there listening, I think it's great exercise when taught and performed properly. These people are amazing, actually, at the elite level, the strength that they have, the endurance that they have. But, I mean, it's such a misused term, and people want to say how now they hate regular gyms. I know people have been coming to a gym for 10 years, and now all of a sudden, oh, what a waste of time, you know. And
exactly.
You go to them and you say, I've seen people, Steve, who have, you know, who are very, you know, novice lifters and trainers who went to across the gym and they looked the exact same they did before. Maybe they leaned out a little bit, but
yeah,
they didn't put
different.
Any muscle. They didn't put any muscle on, Steve. And so, you know what? If that's your goal is to be lean, then do some cardio or something. But you want to hurt your wrists, your knees, your joints, and slam weights around, then CrossFit's for you. And if you like talking about your workouts to everyone and bragging about, you know, this and that, and then CrossFit's a good thing for you.
And the other thing is, what happens when you get to be my age, when you're 50 or 60? You're going to still be doing that? If you are, I don't think you're using all your senses there. Something's wrong with you.
You know what the thing about it is, Steve, is they want every age group. I'm 27 years old, and, you know, I've had injuries from lifting heavy and everything. Even then, I don't know if my wrists or certain aspects of it. I'm not willing to risk not being able to perform at 100% because I did a wad for 20 minutes. Because I hate to sound cocky, but I think I could be great at CrossFit. But, you know, I don't need to brag and talk to everybody about how many burpees and, you know, muscle ups I did yesterday. So,
right.
I mean, if you want to look like a muscular 180-pound man or whatever, and that's your goal, or 170, 60, whatever, that's great. But if you want to have some real muscle, you're going to have to put some time in lifting some heavy weights. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're going to have some real resistance training there. You know, and I'm not talking against CrossFitting. The only thing I'm saying right here is that you got to have a goal and an objective. So even the military, they're not going to keep you in boot camp for as long as that you're in the military. Once you hit the 6-week mark or whatever it is, they take you out of there, and then you start on a regular routine just for regular maintenance. And this is what I'm trying to say. So if you're doing these boot camps with these CrossFit exercises, I mean, you got to think about it. Okay, yeah, this is going to maybe get you in shape, but you got to think that's it. It's just going to get you in shape. Don't think that this is going to be the whole lifestyle, or it shouldn't be the whole lifestyle. I mean, I'm just asking, if you're thinking about it, you're going to do it, ask yourself, what am I going to achieve out of this? Now, you know, you can do it maybe a few times a year, but I'm this everyday stuff, I'm just, you know, well, let me share something with you. I on the internet the other week, again, I think I talked about this before, a couple months ago. They had a woman, she was doing CrossFit, and she was pregnant. So she did a clean, I don't know what they call it in CrossFit, but she actually did a clean and jerk, okay, an overlift ahead with the barbell over her head, and then she squatted with it while she's pregnant, and she's got her stomach standing out here. So I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. What on earth is she getting out? You don't need to train like that if you're pregnant. So I'm just totally, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where all this is coming from. So, I mean, I don't know, if she went to a regular gym, you know, really all she needs to do is just maybe some cardio. In fact, I'd even stay away from some of the resistance stuff, unless maybe some of the machines just, I really don't know. But to do this CrossFit stuff, you got to just ask, okay, have we gone too far here? But if you enjoy doing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the thing, Steve, is that they're going to publicize that they had a pregnant lady working out with them like it's a good thing. Yeah. That's how this mentality is that we're crazy and we're, look at our members, can't even stay away when they're pregnant, and they don't know what the health effects of are to do something like that. It's just all about one-upping each other. That's what it's all about. They probably don't even like each other, CrossFitters. That's the thing. I think it's a great exercise if you're an elite athlete, and but you got to supplement it with regular training, along with realizing, you know, every day can't be all out. And they name the exercises after women, making it out like women are horrible people. So
exactly.
The tough exercises have different names, like Fran or Judy. So, I mean, it just cracks me up, like, that's their... You couldn't have thought of something better to do with your time other than name workouts after women?
Exactly. You know, I'm not doubting the fact that they're getting in shape. I like that idea. It's just that I think that you got to have...
Some of them have great physiques, but it's achievable for borderline anyone, I'm going to say. And that could be offend some people, but I'd love to see some of these athletes that weigh 250 with abs. You know, they don't. They're not that big. They're not squatting 600 pounds. And I'm saying they're strong for their body weight. They're doing stuff I could never do. But what I'm getting at is that they're very achievable physiques that, you know, it streams out to most people. That's why they like it. But I just can't take how CrossFitters act with one another. You know, even the media will make fun of it. I was watching Tosh.0 a couple days ago, and he made fun of CrossFit, how it's a cult type of exercise, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, they said the same thing about bodybuilding, you know, back in the 70s, too. So, I mean,
exactly. Let's see if CrossFit's around in the next 30 years, Steve.
Yeah, well, let's see who's doing it in the next 30 years. I bet you it's not the same people that are doing it now. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you got to pick something that's going to be a lifestyle that you can, you know, get into and just keep going. You know, and then another interesting article that I picked up was in Santa Monica. Now, here's the deal. You know, California, I know, is, you know, notorious for, you know, being on the beach. And really, you know, if you've ever exercised outside, you know, it's a totally different experience. The fitness studios for a lot of people in California have all moved to the parks and to the beaches, okay? So, and I guess, you know, a lot of them are doing these boot camp type exercises out, you know, out there on the beach or in the parks out there, because, you know, the weather in California is, you know, is definitely, you know, conducive to doing things all year round as opposed to in the Midwest. You know, you're not going to be able to do that in Chicago. But, so it's made it a lot easier. But now, I guess because the trainers are taking advantage of the parks and the beaches, Santa Monica's legislation, legislation has decided to, you know, put some stiff fees on these people, on the trainers. So now I don't know, you know, I don't think that's a good thing. But, you know, if you want to go to the park and there's a trainer with you who's going to show you some deep things, I think that's good. But now, if the whole thing is outside, you know, I don't know. You know, now nobody can work out if you're working out there. So, you know, and again, if you're doing these CrossFit exercises and some of these boot camp type things, you know, you shouldn't expect to do it on a daily basis or all the time. I mean, it's just one of those things. I could, you know, only, you know, like I said, until you reach your goal. So I don't know, you know, I don't like the fact that the local government had to step in and start charging for all this stuff. I mean, you know, they do it there. Pretty soon they're going to be doing it, you know, here. Because I know, like, in New York, you know, they got what they call the Brooklyn Bridge boot camp, you know, where they've got people, you know, different classes come out and you're doing different things, just jumping up over park benches and climbing on different things, you know, in order to strengthen your lats and so forth. I mean, it is a good workout and it's a good switch, but again, Keith, like you said, the basics is going to be your dumbbells and your barbells, and you're going to get that in just a regular club and just pay a regular membership. Now, it may not be as exciting, okay, but we're talking long-term here, okay, and what you need to maintain fitness. And we're talking, you know, lifestyle change here. So, yeah, get used to this. I mean, this is something you're going to be doing in your 90s. I mean, seriously. I mean, you may not be lifting as much weight, but you're going to need some kind of weight-bearing exercise in order to keep going. If it's just a two-pounder that you're lifting over your head just to make sure that there's, you know, and then, like I said, maybe with yoga, a little flexibility so you keep going. I'm just totally amazed at how all this is just really just blown up out of proportion. I mean, to the point that now, over in, like I said, in California, they're sitting there charging the trainers for coming out to the beaches in the park. I'm just, you know, and for what? What are they doing? They're lifting trees and tires and, you know, and climbing in trees. I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong getting in shape. But once you get in shape, I think now you got to look at a different method, especially, you know, unless what you're saying, unless you're planning on doing it for competition. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm beating it up. And really, I've had a lot of friends on Twitter, and then when I started talking about that, a lot of friends dropped off because I guess they were in CrossFit. But sorry, I'm just telling you where it is. I'm just telling you the way it is. So yeah.
And that's how CrossFitters are, is that they can't even take criticism.
Yeah.
You know? You're gonna not be a friend with somebody because you said, oh, I don't think it's the best form of exercise. If I heard that every day, I'd never lift weights again or not have any friends, I guess, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm just saying
that's the mentality, is it's our way is the best and that's it. And like I said before, if people could just pick and choose and figure out what works best for them, we'd probably have some healthy, in shape, happy people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, and something safe that, you know, it's not going to, you know, you could get injured anyway, but, you know, here you're putting so much stress on your body that, you know, you're only going to be increasing the healthcare cost, which is already starting to go up now anyway. So just, you know, just look at it for what it's worth. Yeah, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I like the fact that they are working out. It's just that, you know, I'm thinking this extreme workout stuff where you're stretching your body to the actual limit, I don't know if that works, you know. I talked about it a few shows ago, in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, people were running for their life. You know, that was, you know, Jim Fix, in his book, and he was like, hey, you've got to go out here running. And again, I'm thinking, well, you know, to go out and try to run a marathon or try to run 5 or 6 miles every single day. And I know I'm going to upset a lot of people that like to go running, but I'm just trying to tell you, okay, when you're at that high level, you can't sustain it all the time. And when you get, you know, to be my age, 50, 60 years old, there's a different set of circumstances surrounding you that you have to be mindful of. So, in any event, that's almost our show for the day. Keith, I appreciate you coming back and talking to us, man.
Oh, Steve, I had a great time on the show as usual. I really appreciate it.
And if anybody's out there listening, if you're in the Chicagoland area or near Northwest Indiana, make sure you look up Mr. Keith Johnson. Excellent trainer.
I appreciate that, Keith.
Okay. All right. But you are coming back, right, Keith?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He'll be back. All right. All right. Well, that's our show for today. For this last hour, you've been zoned in. We've been talking about, you know, what's in your gym. So if you got any questions or things or you want to talk about anything more that, you know, that we just mentioned on the show, you know, shoot me an email. Okay. All right. We'll see you next week.